Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to effect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip.
Good morning and welcome back, Chris, to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition.
I'm good. I feel like I might have been usurped and I'm kind of happy for it. I think it's awesome. I was on stage or whatever. I was on stage traveling 6 of the above and a bunch of bloody meetings. So yeah, it's nice to be back. Let's put it that way. I am hugely, hugely grateful for Maria stepping in and standing in and basically kicking ass, which is really freaking cool. I'm so happy.
As usual, she was kicking ass. It was a great episode last week. So if you didn't catch the conversation Maria and I had, please, by all means, go back and listen. It was pretty good. It was awesome to have her on. So
yeah.
But we missed you and the beard.
Yeah, you stuck with me again, I'm afraid. The beard and the new tattoo as well.
Yes, okay, so let's see the tattoo. So it's a kraken. It's not a Highland coup.
Yeah, not a Highland coup. It's a kraken. And somebody, a very good friend, called it a bloody Pokemon. I'm like, I love you and I hate you at the same time. So the general idea is, I'm going to get a third one probably next year, and then I'm going to end up doing like a panel, and I'll probably end up doing some kind of Cthulhu stuff around the rest of it just for giggles.
All right.
Yep.
I'm going to have to do. Let's see. You know, I got echo. Somebody told me I got echo. Is it really bad echo?
Oh, interesting. That's tough. I heard the little one or something in the background. I thought, I'm not hearing much of an echo. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Well, we're going to deal with it because I don't know what's going on with my equipment today. Sorry, folks.
It's having one of those days.
One of those days. Early morning for the mic. This is actually just my voice. But so again, let's just go back. What was the point? Like, what's the story behind the Kraken tattoo?
So it's a couple of different things. It's kind of Kraken. It's also like the whole Gurkon thing. So it's to me, I mean, there's a couple of different ways I look at it. One, it's a gorgeous, fun one to actually have. Secondly, it reminds me very much of the family, very much like the Gurkon family side of the world, which is pretty freaking important to me. Thirdly, it complements from like a color scheme wise. Yeah, man, stand up on this bloody thing and do this. Hang on. You can tell I'm still wearing my pajamas. Thirdly,
that's the what the fuck uniform.
It's pretty nice. There you go. Now you can see. So you've got the original one. This one I got a couple of years ago, which is like the Cthulhu Gurkon one. This is almost like a Kraken Cthulhu Gurkon one. At some point, I'm going to do another one up here, and then I'm literally going to have like a whole. I'll do like a whole panel, and then it literally will have something behind it, kind of Kraken-y Gurkon-y, kind of taking over the whole thing. It's I like it. It was just a fun one. It's kind of like that vampire, Cthulhu, Kraken mythology whole thing into one. It makes me smile, which is a big thing. I love the color scheme. The crew that did it did this one, and then also did the Wolfmutt one on my left arm.
Love it.
So
I love tattoos, by the way. For those of you who don't know me or haven't seen me in person, I'm all linked up, so I love a good tattoo and I love the stories behind it.
Mm-hmm. It was very much one of those, you know, you see it and you're like, oh yeah, that works, because they were doing, I mean, they were there at the conference, so they weren't doing anything like heavy duty where you're in a chair for, you know, 4 or 5 hours kind of thing. You know, you're in the chair for, you know, half hour, an hour kind of stuff, which is plenty enough time. And so I think, you know, the next one I'll do, there's a couple, I actually want to morph them, so I want to get it so they morph, and I'll probably, this one, actually, the one up here, I will probably do something more digital, kind of almost like an electronic one. So you go through a couple of different phases And then I'll go back there. I'll actually book an appointment and go back and just get the rest of it all done somehow or other.
Love it. I'll come. I'll do one. I really wanted to go this year, but just timing didn't work out well for me. But next month we'll be in Denver, and maybe next month in Denver we go get a tattoo, like a WTF tattoo. I don't know. Maybe first one. We can get a cow.
Do a Highland Coup somewhere. Yeah, that'd be a fun one. What I really want to do for the giggles one day, and I'll do it in henna. I would not do it in full. Mm-hmm. It's one of these days that I just want to get on the forehead, on the bald head. It's like, if lost, please return to Scotland or something like that. Just tag it across.
It's funny. I had a friend in college who had a tattoo on her thigh. It said "Made in Brazil." I thought that was brilliant.
That's awesome.
I thought it was brilliant.
That's fantastic. I love it.
Okay. Tattoos aside.
Yeah.
Let's dig in. How was GrifCon, by the way?
It was good. Yeah, I mean, it's like anything. This it's been a bit rough the last X amount of time. But it was good to be out there. You know, there's a big part of me that kind of wanted to scurry off to the hills and all that kind of good stuff. But it was good to be out there. It was a little different this year. They changed. So typically Wednesday evening, everybody was like heading down to Z's or Z's. Mm-hmm. And they changed it a little bit this year. So they had the speaker dinner somewhere else. I didn't get the email. So I kind of got in, sat down. I was already kind of tired. I stopped off in DC to do some stuff. I'd done the bloody keynote in Nashville in the morning and a few other things. So I was already kind of tired. I turned up and I'm like, where the fuck is everybody? And apparently they're dinner somewhere else. And I'm not moving. I'm done. So I sat down at Z's and it was a little quiet, shall we say. And then a few other folks turned up, which is really nice. So I didn't feel quite so quiet for too long. But it was weird. Thursday, like an after party Thursday, was a little different as well. So it's the after party stuff has changed, and it's I think there's a way of doing it differently, but that's for at some point in time. You know, Chris and Jamie kind of come back out of their hole again after this one and go, okay, maybe we'll do it again. Might be some conversations, but no, it was good. It was good to see everybody. I mean, it was so freaking good. There was some, I kind of knew what I wanted to talk about. But I hadn't really, I kind of knew what I wanted to talk about, but I hadn't like finalized it, to some degree. And then I had a lot of conversations with people as I was walking around. And, you know, first and foremost, everybody's like, holy shit, where's the rest of you? Because they hadn't seen since last year, you know, 7, 8 pounds left. And all of a sudden, you know, they're like, well, where are you?
Yeah. And
the second part of it was then I got some of their stories about, you know, the health issues and some of the mental health stuff that they were going through. And I'd already had like what I wanted to talk about, and I kind of morphed it and changed it a little bit as I was doing it. And then I spent Friday morning just getting the slides together and kind of buried my soul on stage on Friday, should we say. I don't know if they recorded it or not. I'm not sure. I haven't really asked anybody. But I have. But yeah, it was a very introspective closing keynote, shall we say, which I think, I hope, gave a lot of people some pause for thought and hopefully made some folks go, okay, maybe we should take a bit better care of ourselves in order to be able to look after others.
I really, really, really wish I was there. And hopefully, let me know if that closing keynote was recorded at some point. I'd love to take a look at that.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'll have to. I don't know who to ask, to be perfectly honest. I'll figure it out. I'll talk to somebody. I'll shoot a message out into the general channels, into the ethers, and see who knows.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was good. I got back here and hunkered down, helping a friend of a friend untangle themselves from a bit of a situation at the moment. So dealing with that. But that's a positive. It will end up being a positive thing. Let me just put it that way.
Right.
I came back to a new boss. So, you know, all good fun.
I'd love to dig into the the journey and how it's going at some point.
That'd be an interesting one. We might want to do an episode. Yeah, we'll do like a, we'll do another like CISO's journey update. Because that was a Friday conversation. I'm very appreciative of the fact I got a conversation, and I can't say too much because it's out, but it's not out. I got a Friday heads up from the head of the people team, which was actually good. I appreciated it. And then Sunday had another conversation with them, with like, okay, here's how the change is, and here's what, and here's why, and all this kind of good stuff. So, you know, it's interesting. It's been, you know, it's three bosses inside the last 8 weeks. So I feel a bit like the magic roundabout, that, you know, it's like, what's happening next? Where's the next stop? And what the hell, you know, what, like a merry-go-round. It's like, well, what's the next ride, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's going to bring up some good questions eventually down the line, so we'll do that update. It kind of ties into some of the stuff that we're going to talk about today, I think. But before we get into the topic, just go through some housekeeping stuff as usual, folks. Chris, by all means, drop them and we'll address those questions. Or, if you're brave enough, we'll bring you on and you can live. We like to talk to people live on the show, so I think I might be breaking up a little bit, actually.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's you. I know it's whoever else says. I hope it's not me. It looks like I got a good network, but you're getting fuzzy and breaky uppy.
I'm sad. I don't know what's going on.
We'll try and work through it.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Drop to YouTube. You are choppy.
All
right,
let's
go. Yeah. Chris, I'm okay. All right, that's good. All right, I was checking my networks to make sure I wasn't my end. So, all right, that's fair.
Chris, let's do some.
It is what it is. This is the upside. The upside of doing stuff live is you get live, you get instant reactions. It's not curated. Nobody's taken the editor tools to it. The downside of doing things live is it's live. Shit happens. Ruh-roh. Looks like, there we go. Hello. Oh my gosh, that's so much better.
Better?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Okay, well, now you're frozen on my end, but that's okay. I can hear you.
All right, tell me if that's
right.
I'm going to move around.
Oh, now you're good. Now you're good. Here. Now I'm going to drop the link. One sec. Okay. Nice interim break for everybody. Here's a link to YouTube.
Cool.
Okay. So housekeeping again, just to recap, if anybody wants to come on and ask questions, by all means. Me and Chris are here, drop them in the comments, or you can come on live to the show if you're brave enough and ask them yourself. We would love to talk to you and see you live. Yes, no other camera, unfortunately. I have a laptop camera, but I don't want to use that.
We'll talk about tech on one. The MacBook camera is really good. Rachel's here. Yay.
Rachel's here. Just touched Rachel last night. It was awesome. All right, I want to talk about a specific email that I got in my inbox yesterday from a gentleman over at Ostra Cybersecurity, which is the Chief Growth Officer, Paul Dobbins. He sent me an interesting email, my attention right off the bat from the subject line. We're going to go through it. And Chris, I know, I sent this to you, and I said, I don't think this is too bad. It definitely got my attention. I like the approach of feedback. We'll get into it. You had some thoughts about this. So the subject line went something like this, actually verbatim like this. You can tell us to fuck off. And then the body was, hey, Paul, we sent you an email a while back about our platform, which connects startups with service providers looking to work for equity. We're really early in our life cycle, so we can understand how you might not have been receptive to our offer. However, we're looking to improve that offer for future potential customers. It would be incredibly helpful for us if we could set up a quick call to get some feedback from you. Would be no more than 5 minutes of your time. Feel free to ignore this or tell us to fuck off. Either way, we won't continue to email you or get our feelings hurt. Smiley face. Thanks. Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I got a bunch of thoughts on this one.
So, let's break it down.
Let's break the couple of the obvious ones down. Never in the history of a sales and marketing conversation between two parties has a conversation lasted 5 minutes. Let's just start with that one, shall we? It's not a 5 minute conversation. I had another one hit me up on LinkedIn yesterday before saying, hey, can we have 15 minutes of your time? And I'm like, it ain't going to be 15 minutes. You know that. I know that. And again, as somebody just said, stop lying to me right off the bat. So let's have a bit of honesty and integrity on this one. So that's number one. Number two, let's start with the next one. Yes, I can tell you to fuck off. But here's the interesting part on this one. This is it's looking for a reaction. Let's be honest, because I mean, the standard email apparently didn't work, as if this is a, hey, we sent you an email a while back. So yeah, we'll hit the Scott comment in a second. You know, if I sent you an email a while back and you didn't pay attention, it obviously means that it's gone into the spam. It wasn't good enough. Therefore, how do I get your attention? You know, do I get your attention by sending, you remember a couple of years ago, there was this, hey, while we were in COVID, my kid did a picture specifically for you. Fuck off, no, they could do that for you. So you have all of these different ways of getting attention. Well, apparently this latest one is, hey, you can tell me to fuck off. Well, I'm going to by just not responding and not engaging. And this is, to me, this is no different than street scammers. This is no different than street performers. It's like, what do I have to do? That ever escalating level of interaction requirements to do this. So that to me is the first problem, the next problem on this one. Thirdly, when you turn around and we want to connect startups with service providers looking to work for equity, that is a complicated model. I mean, to me, I wouldn't put that in the initial outreach. I mean, that's complicated. That's shit that you talk about. Let's first and foremost find out if we're compatible. Secondly, let's find out if we even want to work together. Thirdly, then we figure out how we work effectively and efficiently together. Working for equity is called sweat equity for a reason, because 8 or 9 times out of 10, you get fuck all back in return, let's be perfectly honest. I there are times I will do it, but there are also times that I'm like, no, we will work for a financial and potentially, I mean, this is why when you work for a company, you get money to put food on the table. You sometimes get bonuses to pay for mountain bikes. And then you get equity as a thank you. I never, ever rely on that fucking equity to be worth more than anything other than the paper is written on. Because I've had some good ones, and I've had some that are quite a number of them that are still sitting in the safe that do fuck all. Let's face it. So the equity thing is another bad thing to put right at the beginning, because so many people are like, nope, we're not going to deal with that. It's also a hook, and it's not a good one. The next one, which Scott put on this one, which is actually an extremely prevalent one these days, because I see it too often. I've got an inbox full of the damn things, which is, hey, we're looking for feedback. No, you're not. And I mean this. No, you're not. And I think there's going to have to be a better way of saying it, because there are companies that do look for feedback, but there's got to be a better way of saying it this day and age, because but there's got to be a better way of saying it. And I think that feedback is a trusted message. It is also not a form letter. That, I think, is the big difference. If you want my feedback, again, you will get to know me first. You will understand who I am. And then on a separate, articulated, individually put together message, ask for feedback. You will not send a, I want feedback in a fucking form letter, which is exactly what this email is. And it's the same with most of the ones I get. If somebody wants my feedback, like you, and like Sylvan does and a bunch of others, they'll shoot me a note saying, hey, Chris, haven't talked to you in a while, or hey, Chris, hey, want to catch up, talk to you last week, do me a favor, can we just hop on a 30-minute conversation, want to get some feedback from you? You know, that kind of stuff. Grab a cup of tea and sit down and do stuff. Yeah, and I think that's the big one where I have a problem with as well. So you've got a number of different lies in here. You've got some improv on the truth, which is the service providers. You've got the 5-minute thing, which is improv. You've got looking for feedback, which is probably an outright, it might not be an outright lie, but it sure as hell is not. Okay, let's look at it this way. Somebody comes up to you, you know, Danny, you are very attractive. Your young lady is very attractive. Somebody walks up to you in a bar and says, hey, can I buy you a drink? Are they there simply to buy you a drink? Are they there simply for conversation, simply to buy you a drink, or are they testing the waters? Let's be very honest. You know? And you don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know exactly where I'm going with this.
You just took me back to some traumatizing situations at some bars.
Sorry. That's what tasers were intended for. But you, I mean, I know. In our fucking industry, it's horrendous in our fucking industry. You know, you know, especially if you're approaching this industry as somebody who is, you know, let's face it, I'm 6'3" and I'm white. And not too many people are going to offer to buy me a drink, at least from the opposite side of the world. And so it's basically the digital version of that. It's like, okay, why are you buying me a drink? What are you after out of it? What the hell's going on with it? And you've got like these 5 or 6 questions that come up straight away. And it actually puts your guard up on this one as well. Because now it's like, hey, number one, I can't trust you because I don't know who you are. But number two, you've actually stepped over a boundary. So yeah, it's, yeah, I have a number of issues with this email. Let's put it that way.
What do you think about the use of, you know, inappropriate language? Let's just say that much.
I think it's done for effect. You know, it's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You know, the award for the most gratuitous use of the word "fuck" in a movie or whatever else it is. I mean, that's literally what this is. It's somebody that is using it for effect. It is somebody that's using it to stand out. It's no different. Like, to me, it's no different than somebody going, hey, my kid drew this picture of you, or, you know, hey, you like squirrels, or, you know, it's nothing different than a different marketing way. It's like, hey, how do we get people's attention? Well, we'll just use the word "fuck" in the title, because it stands out.
Well, Chris, we might have to reevaluate the name of our podcast.
Oh, hell no. we have WTF. That to me is a difference. It is implied. We have not been explicit. We have implied. Now, people can read what they want into it. We have not gone out there and bluntly smack people between the eyes. We have given them the opportunity in their own head to just go WTF. We've also given the opportunity to give a smile, or we haven't actually, yeah, classy, like, yeah, there we go, I like that. So to me, there's a difference.
We earned the fucked. So that's good. All right, that was helpful. We have another comment/question from somebody that came in just a couple days ago. And this is an interesting one. I think it's going to be not a challenging conversation, but it's definitely like thought-provoking.
Yeah.
So this gentleman reached out to me and said, you know, as I'm navigating these enterprise deals, and there are 5 to 15 or even more stakeholders in the organization, I start to uncover deal killers that are not related to product fit, budget fit, etc. For example, he's moving a deal to POC in a Fortune 50 company, and there are 2 deputy CISOs with many reports underneath each of them. And he said that both sides don't like the other side, and somehow he has to get collective buy-in from both sides when they don't want to help the other side. And so the tricky part of enterprise sales is basically leaving it to the rep to uncover all these unspoken rivalries and conflicts, and how to, he's wondering basically how to dance around them appropriately, right? So I'll pause there to get your initial thoughts before I go into some questions that I have regarding that particular challenge and scenario.
I'm just reading some of the comments back and forth. Everybody be nice to everybody else, please. So I'll take that one. That, yeah, this is live, so everybody be nice. Take everything as best as they people can. Everybody here is allowed to have an opinion, and I will absolutely enforce that if necessary. You know, let people have their say. Do not growl at people in any way that you would not growl at somebody in person. So let me just say that very carefully. I'm just saying things getting a little heated, so do me a favor, take it down a little bit, please, everybody. I love Maria's one. All right, so back to this one. This is rough. And having been, you know, having sat on the sell side a number of times, in fact, this actually reminds me of a similar-ish situation. I remember when I was doing the Ativo and the Calvio stuff with the deception technology, I remember walking into an organization where the security team were actually doing the acquisition or looking to do the acquisition of the deception tech. And part of the conversation moved around to, well, we have to convince the networking team, and then we have to convince this team, and we have to, and I'm like, all right, well, let's talk about the networking team. Well, networking team's buying their own tools. I'm like, well, because they don't talk to us very much. I'm like, oh, fuck. And it was terrible because it was very siloed. And I don't have a problem with some silos. As long as there's communication, as long as you've got bridges between those silos, the people will actually effectively talk with each other. I shouldn't do that because that's talking above and below. It's actually talking to each other. You know, and to me, it was, I don't have a problem if you're in your own lane and everything else, but it's how do you collaborate and communicate between lanes? And it sounds like this situation, you have two distinct teams, probably with two distinct philosophies and two distinct individuals. And to me, it's, as a salesperson, it's how do I navigate that? How do I start to get, not necessarily buy-in, but how do I get advocates? How do I get people on either of those teams to go, hey, this is cool? And at that point, now your tactics. The other thing you're also going to have to start looking at is quite honestly, are the right people in the right places? And you might not get an advocate at the deputy CISO level. In fact, quite honestly, I wouldn't even go there. I would start looking for tech advocates. I would start looking for project management advocates. I would take a step back from going, hey, how is this a technology solution? And go, how is this maybe a time solution? How is this a resources solution? Because, I mean, think about it in some ways. You know, we all approach things as a CISO very, very differently. You know, I've just gone through a bit of a situation, unfortunately, inside Boom with one of the crew, who was coming at my methodology with a very, very different methodology. And I'm like, I understand it and I like it. And that's a very, very structured methodology, but it's not fitting for where we're at now. Where we're at now is a very fluid, dynamic kind of methodology. So if I'm having to sell into that, I have to, as a sales individual, I have to go, okay, Chris is looking for fluid, dynamic. Chris is looking for something that can help him with limited resources be more efficient. And this other individual is looking for structured timing and everything else. So how do I balance those two conversations? Because now you're not selling into one place. You might be, it might be one figurehead company, but now you're actually making basically two sales pitches. Mm-hmm. And sales pitch number one, and you almost have to craft that message to go, hey, by the way, I can bring a very dynamic and fluid, but on the back end, we have the reporting, the capabilities, the architecture, the systems, the integrity to ensure blah, 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 blah. So you really have to, it's a navigation. That ain't pretty. And we had to do the same thing. I mean, we almost became a therapist for this particular organization in helping them navigate. Hey, look, you know, you are security. You can't go into these meetings with the it's our way or the highway, the, you know, the Department of No, all that other shit that unfortunately security has been labeled with. You now have to go in to some degree on bended knee. You have to go in some ways with a mea culpa and go, hey, look, sorry, I brought coffee and donuts. I brought tea and biscuits. Can we have a conversation, please? Can I approach you in a way that probably you're not expecting, potentially puts you off guard, potentially lowers the barriers, and ensures a level of collaboration and cooperation? And that takes people stepping up and accepting that maybe they haven't approached it rightly in the past. Now, as a salesperson, all I can do is coach. All I can do is talk to my contacts there and go, hey, let's talk about the other team. You know, what makes them tick? What makes them not tick? What makes them think? How do we, not how do I, but how do we? So now you have an advocate that's with you on one side And you can maybe broker conversations, get everybody out for a cup of tea, do lunch and learn sessions where you can start to get an idea. Now, the only downside on that one, you don't want, as a salesperson, you don't want to be a burden to the people, as your primary contact, as Ally says. You don't want to be a burden to that person because you need intelligence and information. But as a salesperson, if I'm continuing to have to ask questions, I don't want to be a burden to that person. I am going to have to go out and do my own research. Maybe the two deputy CISOs have a LinkedIn profile. Yeah. Let's see how they approach life. Maybe they've done presentations at them. I mean, if this deal is a worthwhile deal, if you're selling into whatever it was, a Fortune 50, if this deal is a worthwhile deal, you put the legwork in. You yourself maybe go to your contact and say, hey, I saw that Joe just did a talk on governance, risk, and compliance, but I saw that Chris just did a talk on the human aspect of things. Is that their personality? And if it is, great. Now you know how to approach each one differently.
At one point, should somebody just say, all right, let's pack it up and walk away from the deal?
I think that is actually a conversation you have with your contacts inside the company.
Yeah.
If you've got a couple of allies inside the company, I think that's definitely a conversation that you have with the organization and go, hey, look, I am more than happy to put the effort in. However, I do not want to be a burden to you. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be on a call with you every week feeling like we're pushing. I know you have a day job and this is not part of it. Yes, we're experimenting with things, but hey, I am happy to take a step back. I'm happy to leave you with as much as I possibly can to help you, as much as I possibly can to see if you can forge your way through that. I'm also happy to continue having conversations for the next 6-12 months. I mean, that's the other thing. If their buying cycle is an 18-month buying cycle and you're only 6 months into it, you're in for the long haul. You got another 12 months. So don't fucking push it. Don't try to turn an 18-month buying cycle into a 6-month cycle because you won't fucking do it and you'll piss everybody off along the way.
Yeah. Adrian says something really interesting here. When I train sales folks, therapy is a term that comes up a lot. There are a lot of folks and enterprises that don't have anyone to vent to.
Yes.
And so as a salesperson, if you can make them comfortable, they'll answer most of the questions you need without you needing to ask and come across as a pushy salesperson, wouldn't we?
Well, I think it's that, and it's also very, very well in line with, I look at Maria.
Yeah.
I sit down with Maria on a civilized social conversational basis, and we will talk about stuff. And yes, every now and again, we inject work stuff in there. Where are we going? How are we doing? What are we doing? We're having a conversation now about doing some interesting stuff outside of core New Spire work, and that's going to be fun. And that came about because of just... to some degree, social conversations about where are we going, what are we doing, and how is 24, 25, 26 looking. That has morphed, but that's come about because it's a mutual level of respect. It's a mutual, there's all of that side of it as well.
I like the comments here, and I agree that you have to approach it, to build a relationship and ask these questions, but, I'm going to push back and say it's easier said than done. Like, and being that therapist, yeah. Is for 18 months, it's fucking hard. And so some people that's not their comfort zone. Some people it's hard for them to lean into empathy. It's hard to understand which questions to ask. And so I guess my question to you and the extended community here listening in, if you have advice as to how to gauge or like what signals to look out for when there's some animosity or issues within the organization and the deal you're working, how do you look out for that? And like, how do you navigate that? Like, what do you say? What are some kind of tactics other people can use? So if you're open to sharing that, that you, Chris, and others who are
yeah.
well-seasoned, executives, please, by all means, I know some folks, both veteran and stepping into account executive roles, would love to hear that. We're here to help the community. So
I think it's a language thing. A lot of it is the language. So it's the ratio. Let's start with the easiest ratio. We have two ears, and one meth.
Yes.
Use them in that ratio. Let's fundamental basics. You know, when I get an inbound email, so, and this is very, very relevant. This, I think, is another one where, so let me go to my junk folder for a second. And I think this is where it gets really, really relevant. Junk, there we go. So when I get the inbound message, hope this finds you well. Hope you are well. You know, and you get that, no. Hope springs eternal, fuck that for a game of soldiers, you know. Hope took a long walk off a short cliff and is currently scattered down on the rocks, let's be very honest at the moment. So everybody, you know, I think that's also part of it is going in with that ratio of two ears and one mouth. You know, there are some CISOs which are very, very guarded. Well, that's great. Then you start working with them. But I think it's also, you know, you talk with the tech team. A lot of the tech teams are more open. You know, if you've taken the time, maybe you've taken people out of their comfort zone. It doesn't mean you go take them for a steak dinner. Fuck that. You go take them for a cup of coffee. Bearing in mind, a cup of coffee is going to cost you, you know, you as a salesperson. And this is me with my sales hat on. So if I'm looking at an organization, I have, you know, I'll take somebody out for coffee. It's $20, $20-$25. Steak dinner is going to cost me a thick end of like $250 at least. So I take somebody out for $25. They're in a general situation. They're out of the office. We're going to sit down and talk for half an hour. And in 8 to 9 times out of 10, I become the therapist. How's life? How are they doing? How are they as a human? How's everything going? Is there any value in us having a formal conversation? I mean, those are really the core topics you get through with this first coffee. That's to me the big one is because now you get to understand the human that's behind your sales prospect. The same thing you do at a conference. It's like, hey, let's sit down and grab 15, 20 minutes at a conference. Let's have it. How the hell are you doing? Oh, I'm fucking tired. This is dead. What's going on? Well, I got a new kid, you know, 6 months. I'm not sleeping. I'm doing this. Boss is an asshole at work. I'm trying to do this. The database guys smell the network team. Oh, that sucks. Hey, let's have a conversation about that. How can I help? Well, you know, hey, I just want a sympathetic ear. And, you know, that's the short version of a 10-minute conversation. Done. Now you have that sympathetic ear. And now you just kick in and reach out. Hey, how's it going? Do you need me to send you, you know, do you need me to send you some melatonin so you can sleep through the rug rat? You know, do you need me, you know, what do you need? Hey, you and your significant other, assuming there is a significant other, you and your significant other, sounds like you need a date night. Here's, you know, I find a babysitting set. Yeah, any of that kind of shit. You know, just something to actually help the human.
Yeah.
And then you start talking, you know, then you have the work conversation. You know, it's like, hey, you said the database guys suck. Well, hey, here's what we're looking to do. We're trying to help the resource stuff. We're trying to help communication stuff. We're building, you know, perfect example, like Silvana and the stuff we're doing. I'm like, hey, we're building the efficient and effective dashboard so that everybody can communicate and collaborate. Brilliant. How would that help?
Mm-hmm.
If it is, do you want us to have a conversation with the database folks to see if we can get them on board with this process? I mean, that's simple conversations. This doesn't take, it's not a hard tactic. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes taking notes. I mean, this is the other thing about it. I'm not using fucking Salesforce, but that's with me.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Yeah, but it's one of those things where it takes that ratio, two ears to listen and be empathetic.
So you mentioned you take notes and not in Salesforce. How do you gather information about people?
I make bullet points. I have bullet points. So I have a, you know, depends on who I'm dealing with, depends on what I've got going on. I've gotten worse at it over the years because for the most part I'll take some simple notes, but I mean, like my calendar has people's birthdays on it. Even if I don't remember much else about somebody, I've typically got like their birthday tagged on the calendar. And again, it ain't perfect, but I've at least got some stuff on that one. But I also keep an eye on things on like LinkedIn, on other formats and everything else. I'll try to keep an eye on stuff, on what people are up to and how people are doing. Especially if there's somebody, you know, again, if I put the sales hat on, if I know there's somebody that's going through some challenges and everything else, you know, I'll keep an eye on things or I'll check in. You know, I have a note on my, you know, I have a note. So I have a, there's a calendar I have on my Friday calendar. So my Friday, and this came out of Erica at Boom is on the, like the people and other teams. And she's like, hey, you need to put stuff on the calendar that keeps you learning things. So I actually have time to learn. But then after that, I have a half hour piece on my calendar on my Friday afternoon from 4 to 4:50 for 50 minutes is who do I need to say thank you to? It's on my fucking calendar every single Friday. And it's my reminder to myself because, you know, we all try to want to say thank you, but we forget about it a lot of times. And it's a reminder on Friday afternoon to take a step back and go, hey, who do I need to check in with? Who do I just need to say thank you to? Who do I need to reach out to? Who do I need to, you know, checks, balance, validate stuff to? And I know what I'm like, and I know just world gets complicated, life gets crazy. So a calendar reminder to me is that way of taking that step back and going, all right, who do I need to reach out to? If it's internal people, if it's, you know, there are some folks online now without naming names that are going through some family challenges. Well, can I just reach out and go, hey, how you doing? What do you need?
I love it. That is so powerful.
Yeah. And that's a Friday afternoon thing. It's on there and it pops up on my computer and it's that reset reminder to go, hey. And I have other reminders on the calendar. You know, there's other stuff on the calendar where it's in there just to take that step back. And I think that's the big one.
I love it. I really appreciated this conversation. And I hope that it helps this gentleman out who reached out. Definitely going to be repeating this episode over to him. And I hope it helped everybody here. We should definitely have a session on building a therapy group. I mean, that would help a lot of people. Let's just say that much.
That's good. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm happy to, I say I'm happy is probably the wrong way of putting it because bearing your soul is not a happy experience. I'm willing to maybe run through the slide deck I did at GERCON. Maybe we do a session one, because I mean, that's for everybody. That's for our entire industry. So I would be willing to maybe take a chunk of the time, because I mean, I ran through the deck it's 45 minutes, but I talked a lot, let's face it. But I'm happy, maybe you and I run through the deck, but you and I maybe collaborate on the conversations about things, because it talks about, I mean, it breaks, it's hacking ourselves. The conversation talks about hacking ourselves, and some of the slides, we don't need to do that. Is like, I need to do that. So a lot of it breaks things down. And I use myself as an example. You know, I break it down into the physical side of the world, the mental side and the emotional side. Mm-hmm. And then I talk about lists, you know, and I talk about lists. And yeah, Rachel, you are a fucking amazing listener. So short story on this one, we were obviously at a GERCON and life had gotten me to a point where I literally turned up in Grand Rapids on Wednesday evening, and I still hadn't figured out where the hell I was going to sleep. So John Davis, who is a dear, good, fucking amazing human being over at Secure Nation, was like, hey, we got a house. It's 20 minutes outside. Get your ass over there. There's somewhere you can sleep. So I did not want to take him up on it. I didn't want to do that. I hate imposing on people. I like being self-sufficient. I was going to do a hotel thing. And in the end, I'm like, fuck it. And I'm like, please. And he's like, duh. So fast forward to Thursday evening, and there was a mutual friend who was going through a bit of a rough time. So Rachel and Josh had basically taken her under their wing and basically kidnapped her back to the house. And so the four of us are sitting on the back deck up until about 2 o'clock in the morning. And we started sitting on the back deck probably about 11 o'clock at night, whenever the hell it was. And we spent like 3 hours talking, and about every half an hour we would look at the hot tub and go, we should get in the hot tub. I'm talking half an hour later, yeah, we should really think about getting in the hot tub. Half an hour later, you know, we should think about 2 o'clock in the morning, fuck it, we're getting in the hot tub. So three of us were like, sod it, we're going in the hot tub. And we stayed in the hot tub until about 5:36 in the morning, just talking. It was fucking amazing. I mean, it was just one of those evenings that will stay in the brain for an extended amount of time, because there was no pressure, there was no stress, there was no nothing. There was just simply four of us sitting around
cooking in a hot tub.
In the hot tub, yeah, basically turning into spoons. I mean, yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. It was that will stay in the brain for a long, long time.
Oh, that's awesome. I love the story. I do want to be respectful of time. 15 minutes left. Let's dig into the spam folder.
Yeah, do we want to do spam folder or do we want to do LinkedIn spam?
You know what? Actually, let's do LinkedIn spam. Some people are like, hey, do some LinkedIn stuff.
All right. Let me open up. Let me get my LinkedIn. We'll do a live LinkedIn spam folder. It has been, I don't know what it is with October. What are we up to? It's fourth quarter, yeah. Isn't it? That's what it is.
Four.
This first week in October has been absolutely horrendous. Oh, this is a good one that just came in. And I literally just opened it up. Hi, Chris. Oh, I fucking hate this shit. Hi, Chris. Hope this message finds you well. Well, first of all, fuck you because you haven't done your research. Can you please point me towards the person responsible for software development hiring? I appreciate your help. You asshole. Thanks for using me as a stepping stone without even figuring out who the fuck I am. Love, hugs, and kisses, the CISO.
Yeah, see, like, there are enough, you know, tools and enough intelligence out there, even if you don't buy a tool to find that. And even if you don't have it. Next.
Dear Chris, it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance. Ruh-roh. I'm Curtis, and much like you, I have a deep passion for the ever-evolving technology industry. Recently, I've transitioned into a world of finance where I continue to apply my expertise in problem solving. I would be delighted to connect with you and add you to my professional networking. Welcome to the Borg. You have been assimilated. I'm about to sell you financial services. Hey, Chris, we recently helped they've named a vendor. Well done. A two-a-day group prevent product line disruption and maintain 100% process integrity through complex network visibility. Breathe. If you don't mind me asking, do you have anything in place at Boom that gives you visibility over your OT networks? Nope, don't we? Just let it fucking do what it wants. Up yours with brass knobs on. This company just named a company that I absolutely hate. Hi, Chris. We helped Talis, which I have no love for, an $18 billion annual revenue company, to secure several industry sites in one day. You did? How'd you do that one? I wonder if Talos actually knows that you're using their name in vain. I'm actually going to forward this on to a friend I hate over at Talos and let them fuck around with that one. Let's have a look. There's another one. Let's have a look. Email introduction. I am Andre, an organization psychologist. I am holding an exclusive roundtable for C-level executives from top companies to discuss their top challenges in leading their teams. In addition, I will share things. And this is, I only allow 7 participants per session. If you would like to be one of the last spots, let me know today. This is from the shopping channel.
Scarcity.
Hoping to share some of the advancements this particular company have made in our technology portfolio over the last few months, especially within email incident response planning and attack surface management. Any chance I can steal a few minutes in October? You and I both know it is not a few fucking minutes, dear Dark Trace. Hi, Chris. Were you looking for a... Oh, interesting. Am I looking for a certified women-owned business and registered with government IT? Look no further. No, I'm not. I have no clue why I would be. Wanted to see if we could. I mean, this goes worse and worse. This
anything that stands out to you says, "Oh, okay, maybe I'll take a Friday call."
Yeah. Not really. No, I mean it's, I've been responding to a bunch of these. Hi, Chris, I'm kindly bumping this back up. I'd love to get your feedback about our product. Ket me know if you can spare 30 minutes. If you're going to actually do a form letter, spell check the fucking form letter before you send the fucking form letter out, please.
I'm pretty sure there's an article out there that told them intentionally misspell for polarity.
Chris, yeah.
So if you have you have an SDR who's trying to get connected, and we've touched on this in the past.
Oh, I mean, we've given them 25 different ways. Motherfuckers don't learn. I really am going to start sending them the links to this bloody podcast. I think it's probably the simplest way of doing this.
Yeah.
I think this is, it's just, there's so much of this, Chris. There's so much of this stuff.
Is that's all in the other folder, or is that in the actual inbox of LinkedIn?
Oh, that's now. So most of that's in the other folder. I've got to go through my messages. I put a, what the hell is the poster? Oh, I did the tabletop exercise. You know, we need to do a tabletop exercise one day.
Should we bring back Dungeons and Dragons? Yes. Okay. We need counterparts. Where are my dice?
I think I threw my dice away.
We'll get WTF ones.
We need to do a D&D session. Yeah, we gotta. Okay, let's brainstorm
this one out. Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel and
Josh.
Yeah, Rachel, Maria, whole bunch of folks, Ally.
Hey, I mean, why not? We could do a D&D.
Abishai. I mean, there's so many different folks that I think it's
break it down for people what the D&D, like why we did Dungeons and Dragons for Business. Some people aren't familiar.
Okay, here's the logic on this. I mean, it was, think about this. I play as a chaos wizard. Fucking awesome. I actually have a t-shirt now with mine on there. This is, which is courtesy of Cecil. I'll actually have to do that at some point. All right. Yeah. So squirrels, rewind, engage brain. So the logic on it is simple. You know, so often, and I did a talk on this one, about tabletop exercises. I did a LinkedIn post yesterday about tabletop exercises. I might have invoked Douglas Adams on that one, which is always a fun one to do it. But it was very much a case of it's all about practice. Yeah. You know, it's all about that whole practice makes perfect. You come out of the military world, it's like crawl, walk, run, dry fire, live fire. And the logic is very, very simple. If I continue to educate you and I continue to train you and I continue to teach you about a specific topic, one, muscle memory kicks in. Secondly, you don't get up and run around like a headless chicken and get shot. And thirdly, the standard briefing is when the first shot is fired, all fucking plans go to hell. I mean, it's life. And it's the same in our digital world. You know, it's the same thing whether you're doing instant response. It's the same thing whether you're in a meeting. I mean, if you are approaching a client meeting, as again, from a sales standpoint, you're approaching a client, you've done all your fucking intel, you've done all your research, you know that Chris is this way, this way, this way, and I fucking turn up in a business suit, it's like, what the fuck? All plans just went to hell in a handbasket, and now we're doing improv. If you have done enough improv in your past or you actually understand things, you can adapt. That adapt and overcome thing. You know, you have the ability to go along with it. And this is why I love D&D. To me, D&D teaches you that. We started to throw like business scenarios, business situations into these types of different things. And so that's the logic on basically doing D&D for Business, because you get to kill off a few people every now and again. I mean, if I remember rightly, one of us was holding on to the leg of one of the dwarfs or one of the elves.
Now I have a newfound, the utmost respect for dragons and bards. Let's just say that much. I am a very, very deep respect for D&D. But it was really like, I learned a shitload in what we did, maybe four or five.
We didn't episodes. Do many episodes. We only did a few of them because we did it like every third or fourth week.
I mean, I remember the scenarios. It was super helpful in understanding, okay, what do we do next? How do we approach this? What Like, yeah. You know, so this might be a really solid opportunity for us to approach.
Oh, so we could do a couple of different ones. This actually could be fun. We could actually do a sales one with the three doors, you know, the ask one question, three door scenario thing. We could do that. We could do the dragon's coming back.
Brain's working. The cogs are turning really fast now.
Oh my gosh. We could have some fun, but we can do collaborative ones. You know, we could almost have a ring wraith kind of conversation. We could have some fun with this one. All right.
By the way, folks, this is how the planning works. So you've been an integral part of this. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
This is how we do it.
All right. So it sounds like people are, I'm getting a whole bunch of branded WTF D&D dice. Oh my gosh, that would be fucking fantastic.
Yeah, we could do that.
Etsy's going to have to get crawled for branded D&D dice. Yeah, all right. It sounds like we might have hit on some fun stuff. Yeah, so... All right, so D&D, WTF D&D for sales and marketing.
Love it.
Oh, hey, I do want to say one thing. Yeah. I've had a couple of people reach out to me on LinkedIn. Apparently, some, we'll call them enterprising sales individuals, are going through our audience list and are going through our regular list and are reaching out to people going, hey, I see you're on WTF and we've got a different approach. If anybody listening to this is in sales and marketing and tries to use the list of people that we have here as a marketing opportunity, I will hunt you down. I will gut you with a fucking spork. End of conversation.
So send me that. That's interesting. What do you mean we have a different approach?
Well, basically what seems to be happening, there's a couple of companies have decided that we are actually, that our audience are good people to market to because they're, you know, they're knowledgeable, and so they're trying to do a different way of marketing. Yeah, I had a couple of people hit me up. I'll have to see if I can find it. But
that was my growl, by the way. That's Silent Growl.
Yeah, if I find that one out, I will find out who it is. I will find you. I will fly to you. I will gut you on YouTube with a spork.
If you've been victim of that, hit me up. Let me know. I'm happy to take some
action. Sounds like D&D is going to happen all right, we'll figure it out.
D&D, yeah, we got your deck from Gurkhan, and then
we'll do that. So we got a couple of these. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And parting thoughts.
This is a community. Let's keep it going.
Yeah. Same. Love this. So good to have you back, and so good to have everybody engaging in the comments. It's getting hotter every week, so I love it. We're at episode 35 at this rate. What, altogether? Wow. Okay, I'm almost at 100 episodes altogether between both podcasts. That's pretty cool.
Nice. That's
really, really awesome. Fun.
That's awesome. That makes me happy. Cool.
All right.
We'll have to crawl through these notes because it sounds like a lot of people want to do D&D stuff.
I'm on it.
We will make this happen. We'll have to figure it out. Honestly, I hate to say this, we might actually have to get a Slack channel running to coordinate some of this crazy
stuff. You know what? I'm going to, I'll drop something in the comments. In the meantime, folks, if you can think of interesting scenarios, drop those in the comments and we'll think about that as well. I'll connect you on Slack. Maybe we'll do something on Slack and bring some folks in as well.
All right. Brilliant. Love everybody. Stay safe and have a good week. Reach out. Everybody knows the deal.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good week. This has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We are.